Corinthians 13, I'd ask you to turn there as we're honing in on that character description of love in verses 4 to 7 there. And we continue in this AM series based on 1 Corinthians 13, Love Came Down. We're looking at an in-depth look at God's love in Christ at Christmas within our series on 1 Corinthians, the Triumphant Church. Someone said this, Paul does not accuse the Corinthians head on, but gives eight kinds of selfish behaviors asserting what love does not do, when they clearly have been doing these behaviors. He not only reminds them effectively of such behavior, but more to the point, shows them practically through that what loving actions will be and should be. So you might say, why the focus when we talk about God's love on the negatives? Love is not this, not that, not this. Did you notice as we've seen this series, love is not. Well, it seems a bit like to me going to the doctor, you know. You're telling him all your symptoms. In the process of his diagnosis, the doctor will go through a process of elimination often, deciding what the problem is not, and then helping you to know what it is. Well, knowing what love is not helps us then to see a clearer picture, doesn't it, of what love, God's amazing love, this is God's love we're talking about, really is in Christ and who Christ really is. He says here, verse 4, as we saw last week, the best antidote to envy and jealousy is what? God's love. Love is not envious. People who've learned to love, if we're growing in Christ in love, we're not begrudging of people as much. It's a process, but we're growing. We're not looking at their position, their possessions, their gifts, and comparing ourselves. And love doesn't parade itself around, we're going to see today, verse 4 and 5. And it's not puffed up. That is, God's love working in us is self-effacing. And it helps us not to focus on ourselves and try to build ourselves up or assume an air of superiority. No, God's love working us in Jesus Christ will protect us more and more from having that inflated view of our own self-importance. And God's love also creates in us, we're going to see in verse 5, that charm and graciousness and winsomeness of Christ's love so that we don't behave rudely. Verse 5. So here Paul is giving the second, third, and fourth negatives of what love is not, in order to give us a growing portrait and picture of what God's love, this amazing agape love in Christ, working in true Christians and in our relationships, is really all about. That's what Christmas is about, that this love came down to save us and to change us. Love will not be envious, we saw last Sunday. It means it will not be focused, or less and less focused, on what others have that I don't have, or who they are, or the success they have, and resenting them with that, and hating them almost for what they have, and trying to even talk bad about them so that they will not have it. No, instead, when we're growing in God's kind of love, we will rejoice more with them, and we won't seek to bring them down or wish they'd lose what they have. Remember, we said both envy and pride are self-focused and cannot be compatible with this growing pattern of God's love working in us. Yes, we struggle with these things as Christians, but we will not accept them. And we're growing out of these negatives that are the opposite of love. And we saw, remember, love is kind and patience, the core heart of who God is and who He changes us in Christ to be. It's the heart of God's love, who He is, first of all, with patience, the attitude of holding back from wrath. And then kindness, not holding back, the positive idea, not holding back good, being ready to do good. And those are about, if you think about this, the Christian's response to the negative things and the sin and the pain often that others cause us. The difficulties around us, especially with other Christians, but non-Christians. Here's how we respond to it. We become like God, patient and kind and love. See, the whole passage here, this Corinthians passage 13, is showing us a picture of Christ's amazing love that He's given us, that love came down. This is who He is. This is what love coming down in the incarnation, Christ who's God becoming a man, is all about. And as we rely on that love more and more, that he says later, always believes, always trusts, always endures and hopes, we're going to grow more and more in that love, expressing that love, our ability to live differently, growing in Christ-like love and humility, not giving in to those negatives that love isn't, and what love isn't in ourselves and others. So remember, envy and boasting and rudeness, we're looking at this triad last week and this week, are related to how we respond to what is good in others' lives. Those three, the ones we look at today. Envy, remember, it's what's good in our own life. Envy is what's good in others' lives. How do we respond to that? And then what is good in our own lives, the wrong way to respond, is pride, arrogance, or rudeness. Someone said, envy is a sinful response to the success of others, while boasting, arrogance, rudeness are sinful responses to any success that we have on our own. So remember, patience is kindness. How do we respond to the negative? This is looking at how do we respond to the positive things. See, a believer growing in God's love will respond more and more positively with love to the trials and bad things, patience and kindness, but also respond with God's love and not selfishly to the good things others get, not envy, good things we have, not prideful and boastful. God's love is not self-focused. It is based in an assurance we have in Christ that affects the way we respond, not out of self, but in Christ's love. So this means, as we saw last week, he or she will not, if it's a Christian, be growing and giving in to envy, wanting what others want, not wanting them to have it, aiming to bring them down. Instead, they'll rejoice in what God has given them and others and see the good more and more that God does through his love and the gospel of Christ in our lives, but also others' lives. It's more and more others focused. Love is this. It's not this. Recall we said that envy is the flip side last week of pride and boasting. Because the envious person is self-focused, seeking to bring others down, while pride is self-focused also, but about trying to build ourselves up. Look at how great I am. Look at all that I know. Impressing others, putting the spotlight on me. But they're both self-focused. See, God's love in Christ is the opposite as it works in us. It's rejoicing more and more in the focus of God's love on others and when they do well. And it's humble when we do well, right? Aiming not to put the focus on ourselves and what we can do and what we know, but especially more on others. Not putting the focus on me and the spotlight there at the expense of others, which is what pride is about, and rudeness, but seeking to give God the glory and then to serve others. That's God's love working in us. See, this is what God's love growing in the Christian is all about. Hear this. It's about growing to rest in this amazing eternal love that is in Christ that assures us, and then focusing on that love in us and his interest in the lives of others in Jesus Christ. And why is that true? Because God's love is not about, hear this, it is not, God's love and his love for you and for the people in the world is not about what he looks at in us and then responds based on that. It's not based on what others do. It's not based on what others have or who we are. No, Thielston, this commentator, said God's love creates value in others rather than responding to value in others. That's agape love, the Greek word. God's love is the source of true love, unchanging, eternal, and this agape love is based in his character, flowing from him to us as Christians, and it's given to us in the ultimate way in Jesus Christ. Love came down. It's what we celebrate at Christmas. God's love came down in humility to serve us and save us in Jesus Christ and change us. And God's love is secure. It is assured, not based on what others do or what he sees in us, but who he is. And ultimately what he's done through his son Jesus coming into the world in love to save us. See, the point is this love is what saves us. But this love is what alone changes us, matures us, makes us loving. As we experience and rely on this amazing love as Christians in God, knowing His patience and His kindness and His forgiveness, knowing that nothing will separate us from His love, knowing that His humility given in Jesus Christ secures us, we grow. As we experience who He is and what He did to come down in love to serve us and save us, we experience what God's love and real love is really all about. And then as we contrast that with what love is not, we see, Paul tells us, we'll learn to renounce ourselves, to see it, say no to it, and then to rely on the love of God in Christ that is working through us. Renouncing the self, relying on His love, and living out of that love. This experience of God's love causes us to respond to even the good things in others with joy and with service, not envy. And to the good in our lives, as we'll see today, not with pride and boasting and rudeness, but humility, Christ-like humility, putting others before ourselves. Because the love of God in Christ empowers us, changes us to be other-centered. Not self-centered. To truly love because we know and rely on the love God's given us and we give out of that love in Christ that is truly worth giving, that is eternal and secure and never changes. See, this is the only cure to all these sins. But we're talking about last week, this week, to envy and ego. It's the only thing that'll change your envy and your ego and mine and boasting and pride. And wanting my way and wanting others to see this, you know, or envy, you know. I want what I think is missing, you know, and I've got to have it. I'm consumed with it. Or ego, my pride and rudeness. Well, I have what I think I need. It makes me better than everybody else. And what I know and what I've succeeded in and what I have, you know, I'm going to puff myself up. We do it subtly, but the only thing that's going to change us is the love of God. In Jesus Christ. And to be rude too, you know. Because rudeness really is, you don't suit my purposes, you know. I don't really think deep down you're important to me. Well, I'm going to treat you disrespectfully. Rudeness is just disrespect because of selfishness. The opposite of love. So this AM, we're going to focus in our Christmas series, Love Came Down, on these three negatives. What love is not, these particular ones. And really are all tied together in the problem of our selfish, sinful pride, the opposite of God's love. Love is not boastful, arrogant, or rude. Reichen said, stated positively, these three terms call us to generosity as Christians, humility, courtesy, a lifestyle of considering others more important than ourselves. See, at the heart of envy and boasting is our pride. And the only solution is knowing more and more deeply the humble love of Jesus Christ, who, as we read in Philippians, did consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself and considered us most important. That's humility, coming to save us. Philippians says we're to do nothing out of selfish ambition because we look to that humble love. In Jesus, who considered us more significant than himself. The humble love of Christ working in us is only what will change us. And when we see a humble Christian, think about this, think about humility today. When we see a humble Christian, it's not one who says, wow, you know, I'm becoming real humble. You know, they think they're humble, you know. I've got a 5-step plan for being more humble. Watch out, you know. It can't be like this lady who said to her preacher one Sunday after he preached on humility. She said, you know, preacher, you don't preach nearly enough on the topic of humility like you did today. She said, humility is my forte. Watch out. Dr. Harry Ironsides, once convicted about his lack of humility as a remedy, his friend said, I want you to march through the streets of Chicago, this pastor Ironsides, with a sign about Jesus and shout about Bible verses and Jesus. And he did that. And he came back and he walked into the church. And you know what Harry Ironsides said, supposedly? He said, I'll bet nobody else will do that. Now, pride, somebody said, is something we dislike in others but we often overlook in ourselves. It's a bit like body odor. I hate to be gross, but you know, we smell everybody else, but we don't sense anything at all with pride with us. C.S. Lewis said, "There's no fault which makes a man more unpopular, and no fault which we are more unconscious of in ourselves than pride." Humility comes in a Christian who is growing to be more and more focused, get this, on God's love and the gospel in Jesus that never changes. Focus there, knowing Him, and then out of that love, and focus on what He can do in others. Focusing on them out of that love, and that person has a growing sane estimate, as Romans 12 says, and we look at their lives, we look at that humble person, they don't even realize they're growing in humility, but we'd say that is a humble Christian. They're just loving God. They know His love, and they're serving others. The focus, in a sense, isn't home. I want to say, know about humility, grow in humility, but really, don't put your focus on humility. Put your focus on God's love and all He's given you and what the gospel's all about and others and how you serve them and you grow in humility. Once some ladies in Shanghai wondered if the missionary Hudson Taylor was tempted to be prideful because of all he had done. His wife asked him one time, "Have you been tempted lately with pride?" And he said, "About what?" And she said, "All you've been doing lately." And he looked to her and said, "Well, I never know that I had done anything." That's humility. While we talk about humility at the heart of God's love, and it is, the antidote to pride, it's not really what we aim for in a sense. William Barclay tells of a respected educator who was known not just for his success, but the way he handled himself. And one day at a public event, this educator came forward to the platform, and the public noticed who he was. He was well known. And they began to applaud him, but he was shocked, and he turned to the man behind him, this other well-known guy, and told him to come up to the front. He thought they were applauding him. And this well-known guy started clapping for him, you know, but he assumed it was for him, not for himself. We're to have a sane estimate, Romans 12 says, not exaggerated ideas, if we're growing in God's love. Max Lucado said, "True humility is not thinking lowly of yourself, but thinking accurately of yourself." The humble heart doesn't say, "I can't do anything," but rather, "I can't do everything. And ultimately, I can do nothing without God's strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And I'm growing to know my place. Not to say I have no place, but to know my place that God has given me." Humility is ultimately an attitude of assurance that empowers you to consider others not just a little important, but even more important than you in how you treat them. It's not about beating yourself down being humble, saying, "Wow, I'm just no good, I can't do anything." No, it's about focusing on Christ and His great love and God's greatness. And then out of that, serving and focusing on others. Humility, someone said, is lifting God up in praise and others up in service. Saying, "God can through me," letting God's power work through your life. So, how do we grow in that humility? A few things I want to look at practically as we talk about this today. A few points that will help us grow in humility, Christ-like humbleness, and overcome pride and arrogance and rudeness. Number one, expand your understanding of pride. Really, Paul gives a three-part picture here in these negatives of what pride really is. Because a lot of times, again, we think we know pride, and we know it in other people, but we don't know it in ourselves. So we've got to expand our understanding. Number one, thinking. How about this? This is what we think, if you look at those verses there. Love is not arrogant. Start with that one. Because that's really where it all flows from. The idea of thinking. And really, worship. Love is not arrogant because pride is, first of all, a matter of our belief. What's in our hearts and our thinking, our attitudes. You know, whales apparently communicate, and there's a story made up, of course, where one whale sounds off to caution his good mate, and he says to him essentially, "Better watch out when you get to the top and you start to blow, that's when you get harpooned." And that's the way pride is. Because this word here, arrogance, literally means to grow large without having any substance. It's a picture, if you think about a balloon that gets blown up too far and it finally pops, you know. Or picture a puffer fish, you know, and you get a good idea. That puffer fish is so big, or you feel so bloated after Christmas dinner, you know. Arrogance, one man said, is really like a bloated organ, not to be gross, but it's very fragile. And when it gets bumped, bad things happen. This is a way prideful oversensitivity is. We get stubborn when we have this overinflated view of ourselves and our hearts and attitude. That we think we're so important, you know, and we're stubborn about my opinion, my way, defensive when others try to help us, correct us, disagree with us. This is where it all flows from. The sin of our attitude that is really about an inflated overview of ourselves and really about a worship of self. It's the opposite of love. Because you think about this. It is impossible to love and boast at the same time and be arrogant. Because we're wanting to be center stage when we're prideful and telling everybody about me, because love is about shining the spotlight, what? On others. Theilston puts it this way, love doesn't inflate its own importance. The point is, we're not to think too highly of ourselves, which is the opposite of God's amazing love in Jesus Christ, right? Humility and Christ-likeness, and this is at the heart of pride, this overinflated, too high view of ourselves. And it's the opposite of Christ-likeness and His love and His humility, what we're to grow in. So see, pride is first of all about a mindset in which we don't see ourselves in the right way. We've got an inflated view, blown up view of me. And trust me, it can be very subtle in your life and relationships. You don't see it. Others can see it. Someone said the harder mindset of pride is captured in the word arrogance. What is it? It is fundamentally a disposition of self. It's thinking too highly of yourself and too often of yourself, or both. You remember at our holiday at Bali years ago, we were sitting out by the beach at this restaurant, and these two little brother Pomeranian dogs, little puffy, fluffy dogs, were there running around, and then one went in the water, and the other went in the water. And you thought they were little before. Man, you see how much fluff there was once they were wet, like little rats walking around. You know, but God's love is not arrogant, because it must be transforming our hearts, what? To see the greatness of who He is, His amazing love in Jesus Christ, to focus on how great that love is and how little we deserve it, but we've been given it. Arrogance means we've gotten into this mindset of our overinflated view of ourself, losing sight of who God is, who we are in light of that, and most of all, the greatness of His love in Jesus Christ. And that's why the humble love of Jesus is the only antidote, because humility, again, is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less, focusing on God's love in Jesus. See, envy is about comparison in a certain way, isn't it? What they have, I don't have. But arrogance is also about comparison, because you're really comparing, at least in yourself at first, this sense of looking at what I have and thinking in my own mind, you know, wow, look at the things I know. Well, they should really be impressed by me, and look at what I've been able to do, or what I contribute in the church, or whatever it is in my job that I can't do. Look at what I do that they can't do. See, love is the opposite of arrogance, because God's love is the opposite of that. A person growing in Christ agape love will be thinking more and more highly of God and often of God and Christ and what God is doing. Pride is that focus on self. But when we're growing to love others, others are becoming more important to us. That's what we're thinking about. And we're going to see that's what we'll be talking about. What God does and who God is working in their lives. So someone said, love cherishes high thoughts of the importance of Christ and others, but pride cherishes inflated thoughts of its own importance. How about talking, this other one here, what we say? Not only what we think and believe, but it flows out in what we say. Not only worship of self, but our words. And that's this idea of love is not boastful. Like this man in church one time bragging in his prayer, you know, how much God had blessed him and he had this. And God, you know, what else could God give me, he said. And somebody piped up and said, a good dose of humility. See, boasting is speech that draws attention to me, myself, rather than God and others. And boasting is about speaking highly of yourself, drawing attention to your abilities, your accomplishments, your ideas, your opinions, your gifts. And it's associated with words. But you could also say, as one man made a good idea about this or application, how about social media today? People love to boast in picture form, don't they? And all the social media. Listen to James 4:13 and following. It says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go here and there, make a profit. You don't know what will happen tomorrow." He said, "What is your life?" And then he said, "Instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this and live and go and do that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and that's evil." See, this man's problem in James isn't that he's working hard or planning for the future. It's that he's boastful. He's acting like all that he's done or will do has nothing to do with acknowledging complete dependence on God. There's a comedian I listened to one time, Brian Regan, who talks about the me monster. He said it's the person who's always at a social event, you know, and you're telling a story and they say, "That ain't nothing." You know, they're always ready to tell you their bigger story. "No, that ain't nothing," he says. The me monster. Well, we all know about the me monster, don't we, if we're honest? We've all heard people like this, haven't we? We do it ourselves when we just go on and on, you know, all we've done, what's happening in our lives, and what we know, rather than listening and showing concern. As I've often said before, it's true that the loudest drums are often the emptiest drums. We need more of God's love, that assuring love, and not an inflated, blown up idea of ourself that flows out in words that are like a windbag, as one man says, like blowing hot air. Smeeds calls this our private advertising business, our little campaign to put out an image of ourselves. Someone said being boastful refers to self-applause, showing that the proud man wants his elevated view of self to be shared with others. Others to see him. Others to know his view deep down and it be expressed. And it's the opposite of love, get this, because it's all about promoting ourselves. Rather than resting in God's love in Christ for us and then focusing on others, considering them more important in humility, instead we're insecure when we boast, not growing in his love. We want to make sure that we're loved and known by others, but really more than loved. Worshipped almost in a way, seen as valuable, even invaluable, the most important. Gregory Peck, this old actor from years ago, was once standing with a friend at a restaurant in Los Angeles. They're waiting on a table and it's taking a while, and the friend looks to him and says, "You know, why don't you just tell them who you are, Gregory?" And he said, "If you have to tell them who you are, guess what? You really aren't." You've got to always tell everybody. Then what are we? You know what Galatians 6, Paul says, boast only in the cross. We read earlier Jeremiah 9, we're to boast not in our riches and wisdom, but that we know the Lord. Because Christians who are growing to speak what is loving, or grow in that love, will speak in a way to build up others in humility. Knowing who we are in Christ, our focus is on saying what is helpful, not boasting about ourselves, which often gets other people envious even. We talked about it last week. Focused on Christ and his love and what his love can do in others, especially in what we say and how we speak. Christians are growing to build others up with their words and honor them in what they say. And let me tell you this, what we talk about often shows a lot about what we really care about and who we care about. Do we care the most about Christ? Do we care the most about Christians? Look at your words. Who are we using our words for? To draw attention to God and others or ourselves? Do we dominate conversations? Do we interrupt? We all struggle with this at times, don't we? Or do we ask questions? Are we listening? Are we shifting the blame with our words? Or are we admitting our necessary faults? Max Lucado said, "How can I love others if my eyes are only on me? And how can I point to God if I'm always pointing at me?" And he said, "Worse still, how can someone see God in me if I'm always fanning my tail feathers?" Meaning, puffing myself up, pride, boasting. How about our treatment of others? Love is not rude. You ever thought about rudeness connected with this pride and arrogance idea? Well, it is. It's not just what we believe and think and what we say, but what we do. Because rudeness is about the ultimate kind of action, even in seemingly small things, that flows from pride. When we're rude. So love is not rude. It's the key action, negatively, that flows from an inflated, arrogant view. When we're not growing in Christ-like love. When pride is flowering, one man said, we'll behave rudely. Because rather than others being dear to us, their opinions about us, or even themselves or God, mean nothing to us. So see, rudeness, that word really can mean any kind of impropriety, indecency. We see it so much in the world today, don't we? But in the context of envy and arrogance, Paul seems to be focused on this rudeness in the wrong way we treat others when we are inflated and full of ourselves instead of God's love. We get rude. Rudeness is really a lack of respect, isn't it? And as one man said, arrogance drives us to be rude to people who have nothing to offer us and not make us look any good or help our cause. We kind of push them down. We don't treat them with any kind of respect in little things, even. See, the point is, when we're arrogant and full of ourselves, we'll think we're better than others often, and out of that will flow disrespectful, impolite rudeness, not even having common courtesy. But I know rudeness isn't everything about God's grace, right, and love. But love is certainly more than that, one man said, than showing graciousness and politeness. But it is certainly no less than that. So if we look at our lives and we just say, hey, you know, I'm a Christian, I love God, I know all these things, but we can't, in the little things of life, show respect and politeness, and we're not growing in that, we're not growing in love. Because love is not rude. Sinclair Ferguson tells of a time at a church service, and this elderly man walked in the room, very elderly, and there was no vacant seats, but virtually every man, he said, basically got up and stood up simultaneously and offered that older man any seat he wanted in the house. Honor, not rudeness. See, Christians aren't rude, but that negative implies a positive. We are growing in love, which means we are growing in politeness, respectfulness, thoughtfulness, manners. And no, we're not saying we need to be a group of Mrs. Manners and Mr. Manners, you know, all focused on eloquence and etiquette. No, it's not about image. But when we're growing in God's love, we care about what we say, even the little things, and how we treat people, how it's going to affect them. In these little things. See, the gospel comes into our life, the point is, impacting us in even the seemingly small things that are really big things. Because if we're not treating people graciously, not rude, respectfully, then how do we know we're really going and growing in God's love? Love is not rude. And the positive side is graciousness. You know, the first five letters of the word courtesy are the word court. And there's a reason, because in Old England, to be courteous was to act in the way of the court. And the family and servants of the king were called to a higher standard than everybody else. You don't think that we are, as Christians? We're called to be courteous, to be loving. That's at the heart of humility. Second thing here, major point you see on your outline, is express Christ-like love and humility. Because we have to talk about the positive, don't we, briefly? We've got to aim to express Christ-like love and humility, because the obvious that growing in Christ-like humble love is implied in the idea that love is not boastful, arrogant, or rude. And this is the most excellent way Paul's been telling us of God's love, humility. It's at the very heart of God's character and Christ-like love and who we're to become as His people. So we've got to express Christ-like love and humility. Someone said, we have this duty, don't we, to take off some things like clothes, pride, and to put on other things like clothes, Christ-like humility and love. And we do. So that's inferred here. The opposite of pride is to turn from pride to grow in Christ-like humble love, like Jesus, like Philippians 2. How do we do it? Number one, look up to God. Ferguson, he said, what can deliver us from being puffed up? Recognizing that whatever we have in any way, any gift, all comes from the Lord, as it does from every Christian. And hasn't he already told the Corinthians this? What do you have, he said in chapter 4, that you didn't receive? It's all a gift from God. We have no reason in any way to boast. And we need to remember that. Remember Jesus. Jesus is God, and He comes from heaven into this world, and He shows us what true love, true greatness is in humility. Coming from heaven into this world to save us. Jesus came, and you see this in what He taught, to flip everything upside down, didn't He? To say, the way up to purpose and to live for God is the way down. To live as a servant. To be like me. Jesus calls us to look to Him, His character, humility, and focus on His love and serving Him and others. And that's the only way we find true purpose, is in following after Christ. Jesus paved the way through His cross on love, yes, but He also paves the way in what He came to do, giving us the ultimate pattern and then the power to live like He did more and more in His humility as we experience His love. See, whatever a proud person, one man said, really wants, it's only going to come in humble love. This is what humility is about, knowing His great love and then leaving our greatness to God as we seek to serve Him and live for Him and not focus on ourselves, but on His gospel and what He's doing in others. Second thing, we've got to let others go first. You see that little application there I've got on the outline. If you want to express Christ-like humility, more and more let others go first. Esther Kim had trained all her life to be an Olympian in Taekwondo. You might have heard the story, to go to Australia. And her friend Kay Poe also was in that. They qualified in 2000 for the trials, and they had never fought against each other in Taekwondo. They realized they would square off to be able to have a chance to go to Australia in that time in the Olympics. Kay injured her leg and could barely walk. Esther knew her friend, no way she could beat her. She knew she'd easily win that fight, but when the fight came, because Esther knew her friend Kay would be the better fighter to represent the U.S. in the Olympics, instead of taking advantage of her friend who was crippled, she stepped onto the mat. You know what she did? She bowed down as a sign of forfeit to let her friend who had the broken leg win. See, humble love in Christ is not proud because it knows the love of God that is assured in us and is focused more on others, considering others. That's just an example as an illustration. But we can do this as God works in our lives, in the church and family and community, as His love works through us. Pride will often show up in our lives when we're trying to get our way, aren't we? My idea is the best. What I know is most important. No. We look to Christ, don't we, for Him to work through us. As much as we can, we learn to yield. We learn to look to what others need, to what others have to say. Of course, not going against God's Word. But humility is Christ-likeness in that. Letting others go first. How about loving others with gentleness and meekness? Another little practical application. William Borders tells the story of this poor man many years ago who rang the doorbell on a southern mansion in the U.S. He needed food. He was hungry. And this man of this big mansion said, well, go around the back and I'll give you some food, you know. And so the man came around to the back of the house, and the owner of the house met the guy there. And then the owner of the house said, you repeat after me, our Father in heaven. And the beggar, this man, said, your Father in heaven. He said, no, our Father in heaven. And still the beggar said, no, your Father in heaven. And finally the man stopped him and said, why won't you say our Father in heaven? He said, if I say our Father, that would make me and you brothers, and I'm afraid the Lord wouldn't like you asking your brother to come to the back porch to get a piece of meat. Now, the point of the story is, if we're growing in humility, what's the opposite of pride and arrogance? As we focus on God's love, we said last week the opposite of envy is growing in joy and contentment as we know God's love. Well, the opposite of pride and arrogance is growing in the fruit of the Spirit of what? Humility and gentleness. Meekness. Power under control. And also growing not to be rude, but to not think we're better than everybody else, but to outdo one another, as Romans 12 says, in honoring one another and loving one another. We're to replace rudeness and boasting with growing kindness. And then we've got to learn and listen. I love this musician, Pablo Casal. apparently one of the greatest musicians to ever live, and he played for the Queen when he was 22. And at the age of 96, he was still this musician practicing three times a day when he was 96. And when asked why, he said, "Well, I'm beginning to notice a little improvement." How teachable are we by God? Do we listen to what others have to say? Are we always ready to defend our position, to say, to be inflexible first? We can't be, can we? And number three, as we close, exalt Christ above all else. We have to focus on this one as we close. Phillips Brooks said, "The true way to be humble is not to stoop until you're smaller than yourself, but to stand at your true height next to Jesus, and then you'll grow in true humility." So the question is, with humility, do we want God to get the glory? Or do we want ourselves to get the glory? And we struggle. We're works in progress, aren't we? But you know, the Christian life begins with us being bowed down before God, doesn't it? Asking for His mercy, saying, "Have mercy on me, God." But the Christian life ought to continue in that mindset. We want the focus to be on God. We want Him to be exalted. We want in our lives to be thinking about God, not just at church, but take time to be holy, as we sang, all through the week. And the more we're thinking on the greatness of God and what He's given us in Jesus, the more truly humble we will grow. When we really reflect on the greatness of God and Christ's love and His humility coming as a servant in this world to save us, what do we have to be proud about? See, we need that thing, as one man said, that's bigger than anything in this world, than what we could ever achieve, that creates the atmosphere where pride is suffocated. And that's the love of God in Jesus Christ. Licato said, "Would you ever do what Jesus did if you even could?" He said He swapped a spotless castle for a grimy stable. He exchanged the worship of angels for a company of killers. He could hold the universe in the palm of His hand, but He gave it up for a time to float in the womb of a maiden. He said, "You know, we think about big birds like eagles. We name our teams after hawks and falcons, but God remembers the sparrow." This is our God. Would you still love and come if you knew the ones you made and would come to save would spit in your face? They would mock you, the tongues you made. But Jesus came to do that. He humbled Himself and came down. Love came down, and that alone saves us. And knowing that, growing in that alone changes us. Why? Because that's what love is all about. It puts the beloved first. It considers others more significant than itself. And so we have to remember our great need, don't we? Augustine said, "Lord, I wear a mask looking in the mirror in Your holy word." He said, "Take from behind my back where I've placed me squarely and show me how sinful I truly am, and put that in light of the humble love of Jesus Christ." We've got to focus on Him. We've got to remember how great He is. And how low we are, but yet how much He loved us and loves us in Jesus. The only thing that changes us so we grow to become Christ-like, humble in love. Let's turn to the Lord now as we close. Gracious Lord, we come before You and we are thankful for the great salvation You've given us in Jesus. And that, as this picture in Corinthians shows us, so much depth there. Your amazing love, that love is not boastful and arrogant and rude. This is Your love that transforms us, that has come to save those who believe, and Your love that is working in and through us as Your people to make us more Christ-like in love and humility and character. Lord, do what we cannot do to make us more and more like You and transform our lives and our homes, our relationships, in our church, Your church. Lord God, remind us of how great You are. May our focus grow to be more and more on Your character, Your gospel, Your amazing love that's given to us in Jesus Christ. What we celebrate at Christmas, that we remember the incarnation, that You took on human flesh and You came to save us, Lord. We look to You, Lord, and we praise You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.